Sometimes tourist attractions package up history for us, all tied up in a neat bow. And we want to believe what our tour guide tells us. I mean, they're the experts, right? But like any good story, especially one that's existed for decades, there's always the chance that over time, the facts have been polished. A little bit. Well, when writer Hannah Brooks Olson moved to Seattle 10 years ago, she was looking for a way to really learn about the old days of Seattle, outside of the books and grainy photos. But at the tourist attraction she turned to, Hannah found what she learned might not be the real deal. And then she wondered, does it actually matter? She shares this essay.
When I asked around about how I could get my hit of history, I heard the same advice over and over. The underground tour. Really? A tourist attraction? That's the answer? For a lot of people, it is. Creepier than a museum and more immersive, quite literally, than a trip to the library, the underground tour remains one of Seattle's most beloved portals into those pre-Gold Rush days. That's the goal of it, anyway. Created by former Seattle Times writer and self-made historian Bill Spiedel, the Underground Tour purports to remind us of who we were before Microsoft, Starbucks, Ichiro, and Death Cab for Cutie, according to the website. In addition to being a writer and gentleman historian, Spiedel and his wife, Shirley, were active in the historic preservation community. They created the tour as a way to make our collective history more visible and tangible. And in doing so, Spiedel hoped, encourage an interest in saving old buildings and locations.
We kept wandering around these old abandoned sidewalks, and the public curiosity was out of this world. That's how we started the underground tours.
That's Bill Spiedel in an interview from 1981, 7 years before his death. As the Spiedels beat their fists, the story goes, against City Hall, fighting what the underground tour calls, quote, government-sanctioned devastation, the idea that you could bulldoze blight, start ever so fresh, and live happily, sanitarily ever after, unquote, they also drummed up public support. As a result, Pioneer Square was deemed a historic landmark neighborhood, spared from the demolition team. Spokespeople for the Underground Tour didn't want to give an interview, so I decided to take the tour to see whether or not it would satisfy my insatiable need to know more about this town.
I'm going to meet the experts at Old Seattle History for the next 15 minutes, and I'm delighted to have you all here.
Now, the basic information that's baked into the tour, a script which Spiedel wrote himself and ultimately turned into a series of books, all of which are for sale, by the way, at the gift shop at the end of the tour, trickles upwards from the sunken basements of Pioneer Square to the cultural consciousness of those who live and work here. Jillian Thomas is a Redmond native. In the aforementioned gift shop, she tells me that she's taken the tour nearly a dozen times because, as a local, it makes her proud.
Every time you go in, you get a different story. You see something different. Somebody always has like a story from their own time period, their own city. And he really did protect the culture.
Indeed, we as Seattleites love the miscreants in our stories. And we largely have Spiedel to thank for knowing their names. Here's Spiedel again from 1981.
San Francisco wrote its rascals into its history while Seattle was writing its rascals out of its history. And I'm writing the rascals back in, and they're interesting guys, you know.
Spiedel set out to ensure that those rascals were never forgotten, and in fact, he wanted to put them front and center. He loved a dirty joke, a wild turn, and the occasional dash of casual sexism. And sometimes, that means the hard facts came second. Right above where Jillian and I talked hangs a particularly large example. It's a portrait of a handsome woman sitting stylishly among several other prim women. The woman is, purportedly, Madame Lou Graham. And it seems to be the only photo anyone knows of the famed brothel owner and silent financial backer of young Seattle. But for some reason, the picture has always rubbed me wrong. So I asked historian Paul Dorpat about it. Dorpat, who has written a weekly column for the Seattle Times for longer than I've been alive, is credited as the owner of the photo. And over chowder at Ivar's, He gave me the full story. Here's what happened as he tells it. Years ago, a friend of Dorpat's found a box of glass negatives at a used bookstore. And among them was this photo. Interested in who might be pictured, he asked someone who was known for two key characteristics, according to Dorpat: his willingness to give interviews and his considerable age. Joshua Green, born in 1868, lived to be 105 years old and remained gregarious until the end. He and his family were notable early Seattleites. According to Dorpat, Green was at Graham's brothel once when the police raided the joint, and Green escaped by shimmying down a pipe.
And Joshua said, "Oh, that's Graham." So that's a lot of evidence. A guy who was gregarious. He knew lots of people. He came from a powerful family that was always involved in things, and he identified her.
So Dorpat published a story featuring the image, and the rest was history. Kind of. Years later, though, Dorpat would note a discrepancy. Specifically, looking through the rest of the slides, he found images of buildings that weren't built until well after Graham died in 1903. He corrected the record slightly. A sidebar in Seattle, 1900 to 1920, which he co-authored with Richard C. Berner, states, "The original negative for this Seattle scene is part of a collection of glass plates, all of Seattle subjects, that date from around 1910.
So I concluded it wasn't her, and although it didn't stop me from writing a story.
But the damage, if you can call it damage, is done, and the photo still makes the rounds. It's on HistoryLink, and it's used in any number of blog posts and articles. So it's gospel, because that's how we share our history. We pass it around just like our ancestors did, telling stories and maybe embellishing here and there, but there's usually a grain of truth in there somewhere. That's the case with another famous Graham rumor, which can be sourced to the writing of Bill Spiedel. The story about how, when she died, she bequeathed her considerable estate to the Seattle Public Schools. That isn't true, but not for lack of trying. While King County wanted Graham's money, she didn't bequeath it to them. Quite the opposite, she had little in the way of last wishes, and her death led to a 3-year-long land grab between her attorney, local government officials, and her long-lost relatives back in Germany. The money ended up going to her family, not the schools. But if you ask a Seattleite, they'll most likely tell you Spiedel's version, whether they know it or not. Graham's building, located at the corner of Washington and 3rd, is a historic landmark. To commemorate her legacy, there's a plaque which reads, "On her death in 1903, her estate was given to the public schools of King County." Spiedel's book was used as a source for the inscription. When we talked, Dorpat told me that it doesn't matter. The story is the story, whether it's exactly true or not. It's probably true that I wouldn't even know about Madame Lou Graham were it not for Spiedel. But I don't know that I love that answer. Because to me, the reason that our history is skewed is that it hasn't been told by enough people. The reason that the facts are wrong is because the facts have been funneled through the individual lenses consisting of memories and assumptions. This isn't out of spite. In telling stories about Seattle, and yes, sometimes polishing them up for public consumption, Spiedel froze the town in time. He made space for those of us who can't get enough of how it once was. Now, maybe it's up to the rest of us to peel back that history a little bit and see what else there is to find, and maybe even set it a little more straight. I think that correcting the plaque on Madame Lou Graham's building is a good place to start. But a generation later, as the city looks around to decide what can or should be saved, Spiedel's legacy is not that he bent the truth, but rather that he salvaged the places where the truth took place.